So Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 to 14, it's on page 68 of the Church Bibles. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. This is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance."
Great. Thank you very much, Mary. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Egypt. We're going back in time today to Egypt when the Israelites were in Egypt in the time of the book of Exodus. And what we're going to do first is we're going to play a little game of sort of fortunately, unfortunately. So I'm going to tell you some good things that happened and some bad things that happened. And when I say it's a good thing, I want you all to cheer. I want you all to go, hooray! And when something bad has happened, I want you to sort of go, boo, when something's bad. So let me tell you what's happening and why the Israelites, why God's people are in Egypt. So the Israelites are God's chosen people. Yay! But they are currently slaves. Boo. Slaves in Egypt. The king of Egypt is making them work really hard. Boo. That's how we feel about hard work. And he's giving them really terrible conditions. Boo. But God has promised a rescue. Hooray! Let's see what God says when he promises the rescue. God says, "The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt." Yay, fantastic. Let's leave that game for now. This could go on for a while. "I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the..." Yay! Wonderful, let's nip that in the bud there. "Down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians." Now, we're going to see today what that rescue looks like. Moses, the leader of the Israelites, well, God's mouthpiece, God's spokesperson, God's prophet, he is giving the Israelites some instructions about this rescue. And we're going to see today what those instructions are. So shall we pray? Shall we pray for God's help as we look at this passage that we just had read? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you that you promised a rescue. Thank you that you gave your people rescue from Egypt. I pray that you will help us to understand what that means for us today. Amen. So, God has promised a rescue, and we're going to see what that rescue looks like. And it starts with a new beginning. Verses 1 and 2 say, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, 'This month is to be for you the first month of your year.'" Happy New Year, everybody. It's the first month of the year. It's a new beginning. Hey, Happy New Year. It's the first month of the year, a new start, because God is doing a new thing as he rescues his people from Egypt. This is a massive moment in the Bible. Let's acknowledge how important this is. After this happens in the Bible, so much of the Bible looks back to this moment, looks back to this rescue that we're looking at today. It's sort of a turning point. It's a massive moment in the Bible story. And that's why God says, let the calendar be dictated by this moment. Let the calendar be changed for this moment. It's the first month of the year. It's a new start, a new beginning. And what he's going to do is God is going to give them some instructions. And what God wants his people to do is he wants them to trust and obey. Can I move to this microphone quickly? So God wants his people to trust and obey. And we're going to learn the British Sign Language for that today. So let's see if we can do this together. Trust, that's trust with your hand on your palm there, and obey. Trust and obey. That's what God wants his people to do. We'll do that again later. Well done. So, God's instructions all revolve around a baby lamb. And this is my house here, my house in Egypt here. And I've got a baby lamb here. Here we go, baby lamb. And they had to choose a baby lamb and look after it. Alice and Joshua, could you take care of this baby lamb for me? Look after it. They had to take the lamb into their house and look after it for 3 days. And it was really important. They had to care for it, take the lamb into their house for 3 days. And it had to be a perfect lamb, not a poorly one, not one with a dodgy eye or a broken leg or anything like that. Young, a year old, a male, one of the most valuable lambs that they could have had. And they had to look after it. And then, can I have that lamb back now, actually? If you're easily traumatized by things about small cuddly toys, you may want to look away now. You have been warned. And what they had to do is all said in... which verse is it? Verse 6 says, take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. There you go. That's the first thing that happens to the lamb. We need to see three things that happen to the lamb, and that one is the first, death. The lamb had to die. I'm going to need three volunteers. All you need to do is stand up and hold something. Joshua, as you looked after the lamb so well, could you come and help me? Anyone else like to come and help me? All you need to do is hold up a bit of paper. Lily, do you want to come? There you go. Joshua, can you hold that for me? Lily, I'll give you one in a minute. Can you hold that up nice and high? And Zadok, did I see your hand up as well? William, you can help me later. So the first thing that needs to happen is death. Thank you, Joshua. That's what we see. Death. The lamb had to die. There's the first. And here comes the second. Lily, can you hold this for me? Hold it up nice and high. That's the second one. Blood. What does it say about blood? It says, then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frame of the houses. Do you guys, I'm going to do this, Zadok. Do you just move away so everyone can see the house? So take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses. It's all right. It's all right, Zadok. I'll get you to hold something in just a minute. I'm going to do this. You can help if you want, actually. There we go. Put some of the blood on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. So death and blood. And number three, Zadok, if I can get you to do this. If you hold this nice and high. Number three, third thing that needed to happen to the lamb is food. So what does it say? It says that same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. So I've got some things that I've cooked in my house here. Let me see if I can get them out. Here we go. You've got some lamb here. Jess, can I give you that? Do you want to take some lamb and pass it around? Feel free to have some. We all need to eat this together. That's what the Israelites had to do. Lamb and bitter herbs. Here we go. Some slightly bitter herbs. Charlie, if you can pass that around. Thank you. And some bread made without yeast. It is like manna, yeah. Bread made without yeast. John, can I give you that to pass around? Oh, sorry, Alice, there you go. John's got the lamb. There you go, bread made without yeast. Really important that that's the kind of bread that we've got. And so that's what they had to do. They had to eat it. And verse 11, This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So actually, everyone, before you eat, or you might already have done it, but stand up. Everyone stand up. Tuck your cloak into your belt. Tuck your shirt into your belt if you're wearing a shirt. Make sure you got your shoes on. Is anyone wearing sandals? Alice is wearing sandals. Make sure you have your sandals on your feet. If you don't have sandals, shoes will do. If anyone has a staff, make sure you're holding it. And that's how we're supposed to eat it. That's how God's people are to eat the lamb and the bread and the herbs that he gives to them. So, it's all a bit weird, isn't it? It's all a bit weird. What have we got? We've got a dead lamb. We've got some blood on a door. We've had some lamb and some flatbread and parsley. And it's all a bit strange. And so we're going to see in just a minute what this all means. Thank you, guys. You want to put your bits of paper down there and you can sit down. Thank you very much. Oh, I'll take those. Thank you. We're going to see a little bit later. Sorry, Zadok. Thank you. What that all means and why God wants his people to do that. But for now, what we're going to see is God wants his people to
trust and obey.
Sorry, I should keep the microphone, shouldn't I? Trust and obey. That's what God wants to do. Wants his people to do. Together, they do this all as the community together. Together, they trust and obey. They trust him and obey his commands. Because, why? Because he has promised to rescue his people. So let's do that one more time. We
trust and obey.
And the reason we know we can trust God is because he loves us. And we're going to sing a song now about how much God loves us. Because God's love is absolutely the best love. Beth's going to come and lead us in some actions. And so let's stand and sing together about the God that we trust and the God we obey. Do take a seat, everybody. So let's remind ourselves what we learned earlier. God wants his people to trust and obey. And now we're going to see that and he gives them instructions about the lamb. Zadok, Lily, and Joshua, can you come back up again? I'm going to have some more things for you to hold in a minute. So God gives his people three instructions about the lamb, and they are about the lamb's death, the lamb's blood, and having the lamb for food. So God's people trust and obey, and now we're going to see that God judges and saves. I'm going to move to this microphone again as we learn some more sign language. So, God judges and saves. So he sort of scoops his people up. This sign, judges, actually means death. Because God's judgment is death. And the death of the lamb, death or judgment, the death is a symbol of God's judgment. So,
who held the death one earlier? That was Joshua, wasn't it? So, here you go, Joshua, can you hold this up nice and big? Judgment. The death of the lamb is God's judgment. Now, judgment might be quite a tricky word, but let me read this little passage and we'll see what it means for God's judgment to be death of the lamb. So, on that same night, I will pass through Egypt. This is what God says. I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So God judges and saves. That's what God does for his people. Now, judgment or judges might be quite a tricky word, but if you imagine a courtroom, if you imagine where there is a courtroom and there's a criminal, and the criminal is a person who's done something wrong, and there's someone in a big chair, and they get to decide what happens to the criminal. That is the judge. That person is the judge. He brings the judgment. And God is the judge over the whole world. He judges those who reject him. And God's right judgment is death. And that's because God is the giver of life. God's the one who gave us all life. So when we reject him, what do we think is going to happen if we reject the giver of life? He brings judgment on all the gods of Egypt. The gods of Egypt, they're not real gods. They're pretend gods, gods who people have made up. And God judges the people who reject them. God judges the people who reject him and worship the false gods.
Excuse me?
Yes, Alok.
So,
hang on a minute. What do you want to say? Yeah.
I actually heard in some Bible stories, it was actually the firstborn son that was killed.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. Let's go back to that right now. Anyone who rejects God is under his judgment. And if we go back to the people in Egypt, if we go back to the plagues that were happening, there had been other plagues happening to the Egyptians. 10 plagues. You maybe looked at those a couple of weeks ago in your groups. Can anyone shout out one of the plagues that happened to the Egyptians? Frogs. Anyone else? Shout them out. Flies. Darkness. Gnats. Hail. Blood. What was that? Dung beetles? Darkness. Sorry. I thought the plague of dung beetles. That's a new one. Darkness. Sorry, William. Locusts. Yeah, I think we got most of them now. But in those plagues, what happened is God's people were protected from the plagues on their own. They didn't have to do anything. We had darkness for the Egyptians, but for the Israelites, there was light. Don't know how that works, but they didn't have to protect themselves here. But here, with the plague here, with the Passover, they have to do something. They weren't just protected. They had to kill Larry the Lamb. They had to do something to protect themselves. Sorry, I haven't told you his name yet. It's Larry the Lamb. Oh, dear. They had to kill Larry the Lamb. That's what they had to do. They had to do something to be protected from God's judgment. Because everyone is equal before God. Egyptians, Israelites, everyone is under his judgment. Because, as Zadok just told us, it's either the death of a person or the death of the lamb. In every house in Egypt, Israelites and Egyptians, there was a death. Either the lamb died or the oldest son died. The lamb dies instead of the oldest son. Now, put your hand up if you are the oldest boy in your family. Zadok, yeah, John, William, Nathan, Johnny, lots of us. Imagine that you're in Egypt. You'd be really desperate to make sure that everything's done right, wouldn't you? Be really sure that they make sure they kill the lamb properly. Make sure you get the perfect lamb, not one with a dodgy eye or a broken leg. And make sure you put the blood on the door. Make sure you do it. Dad, it's nearly nighttime. You need to do it. It's really, really important. You'd be desperate. It's really important because the lamb is a substitute. Now, substitute, that's a big word. It just means swap. The lamb is a swap. The lamb dies instead of the oldest son. The lamb dies instead of the child. So death is judgment. Can you hold that up again, Joshua? Joshua. Death is judgment. Death is judgment. God judges. And the blood is a... Lily, you ready to hold this? Nice and high. The blood is a sign. The blood is a sign. Now, have you ever seen at Christmas those houses that say, Santa, stop here outside? A little sign to Santa wanting him to stop at your house. Well, that night in Egypt, the Israelites, they put up signs on their door. The blood is a sign because God was going to come through Egypt, but not like Santa. God wasn't going to come and give presents. God was going to come and bring judgment on all the houses of Egypt. But if they had the blood on the door, God knew that the lamb had been killed and that he didn't have to bring judgment there. So the blood says, oh, that hasn't worked as well as I hoped it would. Oh, well, God, don't stop here. It says, God, don't stop here. That's what the blood is. God, look, God, look at the blood. Look, the lamb has been killed. The lamb has died. And so the judgment has been done. The price has been paid. We trust and obey. We trust and obey. We're trusting your commands. We've killed the lamb, and the blood is the sign that we have done that. Judgment has been done. And finally, Zadok, this one's for you. Hold that nice and high. The food is God's gift. The food is God's provision. God providing for his people, giving them food, giving them a gift to help them, to sustain them, to help them keep going as they go out of Egypt. They're about to leave. They're about to be rescued to go to towards the promised land. And God makes sure they are looked after. And he helps them to remember this day, to remember this rescue. He helps them to remember it because he also gives them a festival. Let me read this verse 14. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. It's a festival. It's like a celebration, a national event that the Jews, if you don't have any Jewish friends or if any of us here are Jewish, you might celebrate the Passover every year. It's still a Jewish festival today. That's looking back to this moment when they were rescued from Egypt. So what do? We trust and obey, and God judges and saves. He judges all who reject him, and he saves his people who trust in him. And there's one more thing we see in this passage, and one more thing we see, and that is a shadow. We're going to look at that in just a little bit. But first, we're going to spend some time praying together, and then we're going to come back and see what it means, what the shadow is in this passage. So thank you very much to my three volunteers. You want to put your bit, a round of applause for Joshua, Lily and Zadok. You want to put your bits of paper down there? Thank you. And now the Rowlands family are going to come and lead us as we pray together. Seen that God's people trust and obey, and God judges and saves. And now we're going to see the shadow that is in this passage. Does anyone know what a shadow is? Can any budding physicists in the room explain to me what a shadow is? Martha, do you want to try and give it a go? What's a shadow? A shadow is a dark figure of what you look like. Martha's making a face as if she's not sure that's a good definition. I think that's a fantastic definition, Martha. And we're going to illustrate this now. We're going to see a bit more of what a shadow is. So John and Charlie, I wonder if you can come and give me a hand. I'm just going to move this table away. Could you hold this sheet out? And then could I have four volunteers? William, I promise you can come up. Someone who hasn't been up the front yet. George, do you want to come as well? Anybody else want to come and hold something? Jemima as well. Joshua, you've been up and held something already. Let's go for that. So, wonderful. Let me get my props. I'm going to need to turn the lights off as well. Let's see what we can do here. Right, William. Could you hold this and go and stand behind the sheet? Could you hold up, hold the stick? And wonderful. If you guys just wait there and hold it up. And if you stand slightly off to the side, William, so I can shine the light. We're going to play a game of, so if you hold it sort of like that. Excellent. Well done, William. Guess the shadow. Anyone know what that is? Rabbit. Well done, William. Thank you very much. Okay, George, do you want to choose a stick? Okay, are you ready? Hold it out sideways. Very good. What's that? Fox. It's a fox. Well done, George. Thank you. Okay, Erin, do you want to come and pick a stick? Do you want to come and choose a stick? George, do you reckon might need you to help her? Okay, well done, Erin. Choose a stick. Fantastic. Well done. And if you come over here, just come and stand here, Erin. Thank you very much. And now, who knows what... Oh, hold up. Elephant, we can all see it. Lovely. Thank you, Erin. Well done. And Jemima, do you want to come and choose one? Jessica, I've got a special job for you in a minute as well. Jemima, do you want to come and stand here and hold the stick up? Anyone know what? Hold it up nice and high, really high. What's that? Penguin! Well done. Okay, and Jessica, can you just go and stand there? Can you go and stand there in front? Okay, who knows what that is? Now, is that Jessica or is that Jessica's shadow? That's right, that's Jessica's shadow. This is Jessica. Here, you can take the sheet down now. That was just Jessica's shadow. This is Jessica right here. Well done, guys. Give them a round of applause. You can go and sit down now. Thank you. Thank you, Jemima. Thank you, Ren. You can go and sit down now. So the shadow looks like the real thing, but it's not the real thing. That shadow wasn't a real elephant, but it looked like an elephant. That shadow looked like Jessica, but it wasn't Jessica. The real Jessica was standing behind the sheet. And that's what a shadow is. The shadow looks like the real thing, but the real thing is so much better. And I would rather spend time with a person than with their shadow. And the Bible says that a lot of things in the Old Testament, in books like Exodus, are shadows of Jesus. So, Colossians 2, verse 17, talks about things in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, and says these are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ, that is, Jesus. So there are lots of things that are shadows of Jesus in the Bible. Things that look a bit like Jesus, but point us to him, and Jesus is better. And one of those things is the Passover lamb, Larry the Lamb, who we've just looked at. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, Christ, that's Jesus, our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. Just like the lamb, Jesus died to face the judgment we deserved. Just like the lamb, Jesus died to face the judgment we deserve. Just like the lamb, Jesus is our substitute. Just like the lamb, Jesus' blood is a sign for us. The blood on the doorpost is a sign for the Israelites. Jesus' blood is a sign for us. Judgment is done. The price has been paid. If you're ever worried that God won't forgive you, look at the cross. Look at what Jesus has done for you. That is the sign. Jesus' blood is a sign for you. If you ever feel like you've done something too bad for God to forgive you, Jesus' blood has paid for it. Judgment has been done. The price has been paid, and we can be forgiven. Just like the lamb, Jesus died so that we can be forgiven. And if we are trusting in his blood, just like the Israelites trusted in the lamb's blood, no destruction can harm us. And as if that wasn't enough, we have a feast to remember this. Just like the Israelites had the feast of the Passover, we have a feast, if I can get my props out. We have a feast of bread and wine to remember what Jesus did for us. Because the night before Jesus died was the Passover, was the day when the Israelites remembered their rescue, when they remembered the lamb. And Jesus ate the Passover meal with his disciples. He ate the lamb, he ate the bread made without yeast, he ate the bitter herbs. But then Jesus did something very surprising. Jesus took some bread and he said, "This is my body." Not just the lamb, but me. This is Jesus. This is Jesus' body given for you. And then he took some wine and he said, "This is my blood poured out for you. You don't need the lamb's blood anymore. You need my blood." Do you see what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying, "I am the Passover lamb. You don't need the lamb anymore. You need me. I am the one who will die instead of you. The Passover lamb is my shadow. You don't need the shadow. You need me, the real thing." Jesus died instead of us. God judges Jesus instead of us. And he saves us. So we eat the bread and we drink the wine. By doing that, we are saying to God, we are saying that we trust in Jesus' death. We trust and we obey. God's judgment came on Jesus. Jesus faced God's judgment for us. And he died to save us from our sins. God judges and God saves. All we need to do is trust and obey. God has given us the lamb. God has given us the new Passover lamb, Jesus. Will we accept the price that he paid for us? Will we trust and obey? Or will we try and face God's judgment on our own? That's the question I want to ask you this morning. We'll trust and obey. Thank you, George. That's the question I want to leave us with this morning. Will we trust and obey? Will we trust in God's Passover lamb, in Jesus' death for us? I'm going to pray now as we come to a close. Dear Father God, thank you for the Passover lamb. Thank you for Jesus, whose blood paid the price for us and who is a sign that we are forgiven. Thank you that though we fail you every day, your love will not fail us, but gladly bears our sins away. Thank you that our sin is paid for, that judgment has been done. that your blood is the sign that we are forgiven. Help us to trust you and obey your instruction for us to live life your way. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a new song together now. It's all about the cross, all about Jesus, the Passover lamb, and the price that he paid for us. As it's a new song, we're going to stay seated as we sing this. Johnny and Sarah are going to lead us. It's four verses, and each verse has got the same tune. So as you pick it up, do join in, but we're going to stay seated as we sing, "Your Cross, O Lord."